you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. But it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about appreciation for men. On Monday, we discussed what men are afraid of. When their worst fears materialize, some of them resort to drugs. Yesterday's letter was that of a repentant wife. Her husband is now unable to make clear decisions. They're already divorced, and she is extremely sorry and wishes with all her heart that she had never made such a move. Now, here is a letter from a wife who doesn't have the kind of marriage she wants. Her needs, she says, are being met, things like food and clothes. She has a godly man. He has the fruit of the Spirit in his daily life. He goes to church. He is a deacon. He works hard, 90 to 100 hours a week. And they enjoy being together. But tragedy struck the family. And now she says, he won't even pray with me. I'm kind to him even when my needs aren't met, she says. Now what happened in this case? The refusal to pray surely would indicate bitterness at God. It also, I think, reveals that prayer was not very real before. Or is it fear, once again, guilt and anger? Stop and think how closely intertwined fear and guilt and anger are. Is there someone listening to me today who is very aware of one of those three things? Ask yourself, is it related, perhaps, to the other two? Ought I to confess this to the Lord and ask him to deliver me? Fear, guilt, and anger, I believe, are very, very closely intertwined. God knows your heart. I don't pretend to read it. But may I say to you, as gently and sympathetically as I can, any of you men who find yourselves in a similar position, do you know how much your wife needs you? If she seems distant and perhaps very judging and unfair and vindictive, what would it mean to her if you just took her in your arms and told her that you need her understanding? Have you ever thought about that? Try taking your wife in your arms and just saying, honey, maybe you don't realize it, but I need your understanding. If you acknowledged the truth, whatever it is, your fear, your guilt, your anger, perhaps you're afraid that it would be unmanly to bare your heart to a woman. If she's the woman to whom you're married, I don't think there's anything unmanly about it. In a little book that I read often, I came across these wonderful little quotations, which I want to read to you. Sweet is the smile of home, the mutual look when hearts are of each other sure. Sweet all the joys that crowd the household nook, the haunt of all affections pure. Is there any tie which absence has loosened, or which the wear and tear of everyday interaction, little uncongenialities, unconfessed misunderstandings have fretted into the heart until it bears something of the nature of a fetter? Is there any cup at our home table whose sweetness we have not fully tasted, although it might yet make of our daily bread a continual feast? Let us reckon up these treasures while they are still ours, in thankfulness to God. The Old English may be a little bit difficult for some, but Elizabeth Charles, the author of this, is speaking of how easy it is to begin to take others for granted when absence loosens a tie, or when the wear and tear of everyday life has fretted us until it becomes something of the nature of a fetter, like a bond, a chain, bondage of some sort. Is there any cup at our home table whose sweetness we have not fully tasted? The sweetness of sympathy and mutual understanding. I think it's unreasonable for us ever to expect fully to understand our husbands, or for you husbands fully to understand your wives, because men and women are different. It was God's idea to make us very different. But we can learn to understand each other more and more as we live together and love, because love shows the way. And then another quotation on the same page, we ought daily or weekly to dedicate a little time to the reckoning up of the virtues of our belongings, wife, children, and friends, contemplating them then in a beautiful collection. How many of us do that daily, even weekly, even annually? Dedicate a little time to the reckoning up of the virtues of our belongings. And among our belongings, is there anything as precious as wife, children, and friends, husband, home? We should do so now, that we may not pardon and love in vain and too late, after the beloved one has been taken away from us to a better world. When I was married to my husband, Jim Elliott, it was a very brief marriage. It was actually 2 years and 3 months. And when he went to try to take the gospel to a group of Indians called Aucas, I had a week to contemplate his absence before he actually died. And in that week at home with my baby, who was then 10 months old, I thought back over my failures as a wife. I realized the very strong possibility that my husband might not return. But I made up my mind that if and when he did, I was going to be the best wife in the world. One thing I realized was that over those 10 months since our baby was born, I hadn't given my husband the kind of attention that I had given him before that. I had been very preoccupied with the baby, and there were times when I could have been sensitive to my husband's needs when I didn't bother. I hadn't darned all his socks. Nowadays, nobody darns socks because everybody wears those one-size-fits-all kind, and you can't really darn them very well. So I sat down and darned every sock in the drawer, mended his clothes, fixed things around the house for his sake. It was too late. He never came back. If you don't know how to pray, let me give you the simplest prayer I know. It's called the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. God knows how to answer that prayer. He knows what kind of mercy you need. And all you're doing is just putting yourself in His presence and acknowledging your need. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Is there a man listening whose heart has been pierced by this message, realizing that you haven't appreciated your possessions, your wife, your children, your home, and all that God has given you? Perhaps you're aware that you need to pray. Just pray that prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Or pray the Lord's Prayer. Some call it the Our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know that prayer, don't you? Pray it slowly and thoughtfully. And then another help, especially for you men, is a wonderful leaflet called Do You Love Me? This is the testimony of a man whose love for his wife was completely transformed. He says, it's easy to scorn women, and most men do. We see women as physically weak, easy to intimidate, bound to the menial tasks of motherhood, emotional, illogical, and often petty. Or we see them as temptresses, In desire, we idolize them and parade them across the pages of magazines. Yet we scorn and hate them for their commanding sexual power over us. Male scorn for women affects every aspect of our lives. Relations with our mothers, our girlfriends, our secretaries, our wives, our children, the church, and even God himself. I do not speak here merely of your scorn of women, he writes. I speak of mine as well. I swaggered through marriage for many years, ruling my wife, Susan, and my children with an iron hand, while citing scripture as justification for my privileges and authority. Years of dominating my wife and children left them habitually resentful and fearful of me, yet unwilling to challenge me because of the fury it might provoke. Then, a number of dramatic events occurred that wrought a profound change in my moral, psychological, and spiritual life. My eyes were opened, and during the past 5 years, my family has been restored. In 1983, we had 6 children, and despite our spiritual estrangement, Susan was 4 months pregnant. Our first babies had been born without any problems whatsoever. However, in the early morning hours of December 6th, Susan began to hemorrhage, and within 2 hours delivered our 7th baby, dead. He goes on to tell about this transformation that was wrought in his life, in her life, and the life of their whole family. May God help us, men and women alike, to see with his eyes the gifts that he has given us, and to receive them with thanksgiving.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.